There's a couple of people I know, father and son, and they have one of those unfortunate fatal allergies to bee stings. And it's particularly unfortunate that because actually up until recently their trade was growing roses, so you can imagine there's lots of bees around the place. They were receiving a treatment for this allergy. The treatment was to go to hospital and actually be injected with the one thing which they were allergic to. In very, very small quantities, bee venom. I'm assuming you call it venom, the bee sting venom. So each week or each month, it was on a regular basis, the father and the son would go to the hospital, be injected with a minute amount of the venom, and allow their body to deal with that. It would build up an immunity to it, so that if they should get stung, and they're in a position where they don't have the anti-venom, then they wouldn't die. From my limited understanding of the medical industry, and I know there's some of you here who have a medical background, so you can correct me afterwards if I get this wrong. But from my understanding, so I'm going to make farming analogies, there's plenty of people who can correct me afterwards. From my understanding, to make an antidote or a vaccine, you take the disease itself, slightly modify it, and inject it into the person so that their body can develop an immunity or a defense mechanism for it. In a similar way, clearly this is not a lesson on how medicine works, but simply an analogy, poor as it may be, of what has happened to the illness, if you want to call it that, that we call death. Just as it is in a world that in order to destroy something, we often have to destroy something bad, we have to use the very thing itself to destroy it. And so it was with death. Christ, God became man, became Christ, the anointed one, and took on death. On Friday, we celebrated that. We call it Good Friday. He took on death. He was injected, if you will, with the disease, which is the effect of sin, which is called death. But he overcame it. Again, this is where the analogy starts to break down, as all analogies eventually will. But, if you will, because he accepted death, he gave us the vaccine so that we may not have to suffer it. Clearly, we're not talking the physical death. One day we will all die. That's just nothing we can do about that. But what he did destroy was the fear of death, the fear of an eternal death. He made us better than we were before. Again, back to the disease analogy. All of us as we're growing up, we have those childhood illnesses, your mumps, your chicken pox, etc. Most of us do, the measles. And as we come through them, our body develops an immunity to them. And we're not like we were before. We're stronger in a sense. Taking into consideration that chickenpox virus can come back as other viruses later on in life. Just pretend that doesn't happen. But nevertheless, we come back stronger. We're not the same. That can never touch us again. And so it is now. Christ died. He took on our illness. He took on what we're supposed to suffer for our sins. And now we're not the same anymore. We can't die forever anymore. We have no need to be afraid anymore. And that is why we rejoice at Easter. That and the fact that not only will we live forever again, but we will live, in fact, with Christ. I think one of the most touching scenes of Easter morning from the Gospels that we have is poor St. Mary Magdalene, this woman who was a great sinner, and whom had much had been forgiven because she had loved much, who goes seeking her Lord. Where is the body of her Lord? She doesn't know he's been risen yet. And she goes to the gardener. She's asking anyone she can, where is he? Have you seen him? Have you seen him? And Jesus is right there. She doesn't even recognize him. And as soon as he says her name, Mary, she sees him. Herself, she's filled with consolation and joy. This is all she wants, is to be near her Christ, her Savior. We have that opportunity. Back to the vaccine analogy. If God has given us the vaccine for death, how do we apply it? How do we get it? For any other vaccines, we've got to go to the doctors, of course, be injected with it, etc., etc. There is no anti-death vaccine, per se, that we can be injected with. Rather, it's normally the adults that are crying when I'm preaching, so... But Christ has given us means to overcome this. First and foremost is that gift that hopefully we've all received in here. Maybe even the very little ones. It's baptism. In baptism, we are washed with the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is actually the vaccine. We need to be washed clean. Again, I know there's a couple of people here who are nurses, at least a couple. Before you inject someone, you have to wash it with a bit of alcohol or whatever you do, you clean up. It's kind of very poor analogy. Like baptism, we're washed clean. Sin is actually taken away with the washing itself. So it's a bit more than just rubbing it with a bit of alcohol. And we are ready for eternal life. Death in us has been destroyed. That is how we get the vaccine. Unfortunately, in our weakness, in our patheticness, in our slowness to learn, sometimes we give up that life. It's as if we want to die again. We take on death voluntarily again when we fall into grave sin. Unfortunately, in our world, it's not so hard to do that. God, knowing our weakness and Him being full of mercy, gives us another opportunity to be washed in His blood in a different way, but nevertheless in a real way through the sacrament of reconciliation. In there, all those sins that have caused us to die once again are once again washed away, and we have life. And it is only then, when we have that life within us, can we have the life within us in another way. Just as the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of reconciliation, cleanses us, if you will, it also cleanses us to receive the vaccine in its fullest form, in its most effective form, the Eucharist. Any other sacraments, essential as they are, especially baptism, which is essential, we are prepared, we are pointed towards the Eucharist. In baptism, in reconciliation, we are washed with the blood of Christ. In the Eucharist, we consume it. With baptism, and again with reconciliation, we are given life, and with the Eucharist, that life grows. Just as when you were born, or when you were conceived, rather, you are given life, and through the nourishment within your mother's womb and through the food that you eat, you grow. So it is in the spiritual life, in our spiritual aspect. Through baptism and again through reconciliation, we receive life, and through the Eucharist, we grow. And you know what happens if you don't eat? You die. God made that, Christ made that very clear, John chapter 6, verse 30 onwards. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have life within you. These are the words of Christ, not mine. He made it very, very clear. Without the Eucharist, that life, that gift that God has given you, will slowly grow dull. And you will lose it because we are weak and we are surrounded by people who would want to take our life from us. Anyone who has a military background knows that you must be always vigilant to protect your base. All your soldiers must be well, they must have well, be well rested, they must be well fed. And so it is with us. Without the food that is Christ Himself, the vaccine for life, the elixir of life that man is always searching for, that life in us will drain away. Again, we can't receive it well unless we've first been washed clean, but it is there for the taking when we are. Easter reminds us of all these things. But most of all, it reminds us that every single day, and especially every Sunday, is another Easter for us. Because we are people of the resurrection. We are not people of death. Even though we may live in a culture of death, as St. John Paul II called it. We've seen or heard, if you've been around long enough, of death cults. and horrendous they are, repugnant they are to the normal, balanced human being. We are not part of that. Our symbol may be the cross, a man on the cross, but that's because that's our symbol of victory, because through that cross, we have life. This is not the end of the story. The end of the story is the resurrection and our salvation. I ask you, therefore, and I beg you this Easter, to really consider these things. Our life is really very, very short. At the beginning of Mass, I mentioned the fact that we have quite a few children, although they're getting lesser by the minute, in the church who are under 30. In a very short while, some of the older ones who remember this homily, if anyone remembers this homily, they'll look back and go, that was 30 years ago. What happened? That was 50 years ago. That was 70 years ago, if they get that old. What happened to my life? We don't have very long. Again, anyone, any of us who are above 30, any of you who are above 30, know that we don't have much time. You look back and it has gone so quick. God has given us so many opportunities. Let us not waste another one. Let this Easter be the beginning of a new life for us. Now, it doesn't mean that you all necessarily have to come and enter the friary, although if you're so inclined or you feel called by God, please come and see me afterwards. I see a couple of possible candidates around the place. But it does mean that we need to take our relationship with God seriously. It has to become the most important thing. If it's not, if we don't have time to come and see God for 1 hour a week, unless it's the Easter Vigil Mass, which is about 2.5 hours, but every other week, it's barely an hour, that we don't have time to do anything because we're missing out the most important thing. We all know, for those of you who are married, you don't have time for your wife or your husband, that marriage is going to be miserable or it's going to have lots and lots of problems. You have to make time for those things which are important for you. God has to be important for you because surely you are important to him, important enough that he might die for you, for each one of you. Not just for us all as a whole, but for each person. Each one of us he had in mind as those nails were driven through his hands and feet. We now, therefore, have a certain hope. The Christian hope, the theological hope, is certain. Our hope to get to heaven is certain if we allow the vaccine, that is the blood of Christ, to wash over us regularly and to receive him regularly, as he has asked us to, then we can be sure that we will go to heaven if we live according to how he's asked us to live, which is no more than to love him and to love one another. Like all small children as we are, as these children would be able to demonstrate and tell us, when we become overwhelmed with all of this, when we become overwhelmed with our weakness, our inability, our lack of knowledge, what does a child do? It flies to its mother. Because in a mother, mum knows everything. Mum can feed me, mum can keep me warm, etc. Mum knows how to keep dad calm. And so it is with us. We don't have to have any fear going to our Lord, certainly not. But everyone knows it's instinctive. But for some reason, we have much less fear going to Our Lady. Our Lord is indeed merciful. But again, he is also judge. He will judge us. He will judge us. Our Lady won't. All she is mercy. Go to her. Let us go to her this Easter. Tradition has it that Jesus originally appeared to her first and foremost. Why did Our Lady not go to the tomb? Because she knew he was rising from the dead. She didn't have to go to the tomb. And so she will bring us also to him. Teach us how to be people of the resurrection. Teach us how to worthily and well be, or rather to be washed well with his blood in a sacrament of reconciliation. Teach us how to receive well that vaccine of his blood in the Eucharist. And then there's no need for us to have any fear. And let's go forward, therefore, from this Mass, at the end of Mass, not right now, forward from this Mass as new people risen again in Christ. You should be glowing in the dark as Christ is living with you, especially if you have a haircut similar to mine. Christ calls us all of us, all of you, to be saints. Do not doubt that, because that is what he's called you to. That is what he says in Scripture. Your vocation, the word vocation simply comes from the word which means to be called, is holiness. People come to me and say, Father, I ain't a saint. Well, I know, but why not? Because you're supposed to be. Let us not be afraid. Let us not be discouraged. Let us take courage in the cross, that all the sufferings have been done for us. We are asked to carry but a splinter in order that we may receive a glory which Christ himself has won for us. With Our Lady by his side, with our Mother by our side, it is possible. Let us rejoice because Christ indeed is truly risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.